I don't have a message for you. I don't have a message. I tell you, it's amazing what God is doing. Yes. I've been dealing with some things for the last maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe. And it kept coming up in my spirit that every time I turn around, I kept getting this word inside of me, kept saying that I'm losing. You know, I'm just losing. And everything around me is just not working out. I'm just losing. I just felt like I'm losing. But I wasn't sad about it. And I didn't understand why I was not sad about the word losing. So when I began to look at some things in my life and I was saying, God, you know, I don't understand this, but I'm so much at peace. I'm like, okay, I'm keep getting a revelation coming back to different messages that came through the house that been giving me encouragement and giving me a foundation. And I'm saying, okay, so this is supernatural that's taking place in my life. So he was, and I believe the Spirit telling me that, okay, so now I want you to share this with people to give them an understanding of what kind of manna we are eating from heaven. So I didn't understand at all. So I was trying to put this thing together and it would not come together. But then God just told me, said, stop, let me show you by the Spirit. He said, are you ready? Are you ready to lose? Are you ready to lose? So going back to when I was young, I started out in middle school, and coming up, I was didn't have that much. My mom was an alcoholic, and I had to stay in a foster home, and got to middle school. That's when I decided that I was going to be a winner. I was going to succeed in whatever I do. So in middle school, I was in gym, and they had a contest to see how many people could do how many setups within 1 minute. And I set the record for doing 86 setups in 1 minute. And I thought I did something. Right? So I accomplished that. And then I said, I got to succeed at whatever I do. So I went on, left middle school, and I was about to enter to high school, and I wanted to play sports. And everybody around me kept telling me, go to school that didn't have a good team. Go somewhere where you can be a superstar and, you know, you can stand out because everybody's not that good of players. Now, mind you, I'm not that bigger than I am when I was 16 years old. Yeah, I got small a little bit, but, you know. But my competitiveness was so strong that I was like, nah, I got to go where the big guys are. And where the people are winning. And Mom Wunderpaw could testify to this from Ed. I went to the high school in New York called DeWitt Clinton. And it was known for the athletic department. It was all boys. It was tough. But I went there in my freshman year. I went out for track, made a track team. Then I got to play baseball. Went out for the baseball team. My freshman year, I ended up playing varsity in the baseball team in my tryouts. Then I played football. I was on the football team. Then I got on the wrestling team. So I said, I'm going to dumb into everything I can because I want to win. I was tired of being losing in everything that I was doing. I was tired of not having. So I had those accomplishments, and then all of a sudden, I didn't have any money. So I was looking at the guys around me, and I was like, man, they got nice clothes and all of this nice stuff. I said, I'm going to get me a job while I'm at school. So I got me a job, and I was working for the mayor's office in New York, and I was doing speeches for young people. And I don't know how all this happened because I wasn't good at speeches, so I don't know how I even got picked for it. But I began to do speeches, and I was working downtown, so I was dressing up, and I was coming to school with a tie on, you know, briefcase. So after class, I had to go straight to work. Then I decided, this is not good enough. I said, I need to get me a real job. Then I ended up getting a better job. And then I ended up becoming assistant manager. And at the age of, I think about 18, 19, I ended up getting a company's car. I had every gas car with the company. I was in charge of like 36 men. It was just, and again, I didn't have no bills. I didn't have no responsibility because I'm still young. So I'm gaining all this stuff, and I've always been a decent son to my parents. You know, I always was obedient. I always tried to take care of my parents. Whatever they asked for, I made sure that, you know, I wasn't a problem or a burden to my parents. You know, whatever I did outside, I kept it outside. But whatever I was around my parents, I made sure my parents were well taken care of. Whatever they asked for, Michael would go out there and try to get it. Then I began to look at people in the churches that I was going to. I was looking at how married couples did things. And I looked at somebody like Robert and Lorraine, who've been celebrating their 40th year anniversary. I would look at them and say, oh, I like the way how Rob always opened the door for his wife, you know. So I took that and I put it in my pocket, said, that's what I'm going to do. Right? I said, yeah, I'm going to take that and put that in my pocket. So I look at Rob and I said, I like the way he dressed. So he, you know, he got this nice. I said, okay. Yeah, so I'm going to take that. And I said, you know, you got to be sophisticated when you do whatever you do. So I put that in my pocket. I said, all this stuff is going to be in my life because I'm going to be successful whatever I do. And then when I was playing sports, I said, yeah, I'm going to play in the major leagues in baseball. So when I was playing baseball, I was pretty good. And the coaches told me that I had the potential to go to get a good scholarship, to go to a good college. Because I was a pitcher, and I was throwing the ball like 90-some miles an hour as a freshman, little as I was. So nobody couldn't tell me that I wasn't going to make no money. So I built my life upon the fact that I was going to make this money, and I could do whatever I want to do. So many times, I was in church, and then God began to show me some things about my life. And then all of a sudden, I moved to New York. When I moved to New York, my mom, my natural born mom, had passed away at the age of 48 because she had cancer. And before she passed away, she began to call me and ask if she'd come stay with me. And when I found her, because I haven't seen her in years. So when I found her, I brought her to to Virginia, and I let her stay with me for a while. And when I took her to the doctor, they said she had 1 year to live. Within that 1 year, I took care of my mom. I never had no hard feelings. I never disrespected her. I treated her really well. And the day that she died in my house, my pastor came up to me, my old pastor, not Pastor Gary. My old pastor came up to me. He said, son, your mother was crying one Sunday. And she said, why do my son love me so much? After all I done to him, why he love me so much, even to this day? And that, you know, that touched me a little bit, but I didn't really understand. And then I started looking at the fact that then my dad passed away. And as when my father passed away, I said, man, you know, I try to be a good son. And he used to come to my house and sit on the porch and tell me his problems. And he used to call me father, you know, because I was helping him with his problems and stuff. So we had this conversation going. And I was like, well, God, I don't really understand what it's all of this about, me losing. And then all of a sudden, he took me from my dad, and I recognized I lost my mom, my stepmom, Pastor Mommy. As most of y'all know, I call her Pastor Mommy. And that devastated me, but at the same time, I was still at peace when all three of them passed away. I didn't beat myself up. I didn't worry about it. And I never understood why I never got so tore up or broken about the people in my life passed away. Then all of a sudden, my brother Jamel passed away. 31 years old, 32 years old. Jamel, my brother passed away. Same thing. I'm good, but I'm still feeling like I done lost something. As I was beginning to prepare for this message, I got a call Saturday night that my godmother passed away. Me and my godmother, we were really, really close. And I was like, God, you know, this is crazy. But he said to me, through all of that, you had free grace dealing with your mom and your dad and your stepmom. Now, we heard the message that Pastor had one time about free grace. Right? We heard the word about free grace. But I didn't understand what that was until the Holy Spirit had to show me what free grace is. Because there's a difference between the grace and free grace. See, grace is what you're just going to get. But see, when you got something on your life, like you guys in this room right here, because you're here. Because you got something on your life, you got this thing called free grace from heaven. Because circumstances and situations in your life that supposed to have really went bad, God done already turned it around way before you was even in this seat here. Free grace had to catch up to you because it was already in the system. But when I was young, I didn't understand what free grace was. But I didn't understand what I was losing. I said, God, okay. I said, okay. He said, now I can't use you the way you were. I had my own plan, see? I had my own ideas. I had my own spiritual things that I already knew that were going to manifest to something. I was a young man in school, and then when I was in church, I was a junior missionary president. I was going doing street ministries. I was playing the drums in the church. I was doing all of that. But God says, no, it's free grace because you, the one, has to come out. So I said, okay, God. So then he said, okay, now, because you think you're losing, I'm building something in the spirit. That's why everything that's happening here, Pastor kept talking about this is a spiritual house. And then this young lady stand up here and share her heart. See, because it's a spiritual house. See, she didn't know what I was going to talk about this morning. But see, God did. Why? Because free grace is already in the house. Even when she wasn't here, she still was partaking of something that was already manifested in the house way before time began. Free grace. God said, not only I'm going to start telling you words, I'm a demonstrator so you can see them by experiences. See, we'd have been caught up in religion with testimonies, right? But what God said, no, I'm turning around because I'm looking for a people that I can give them experiences. Because see, when I testify, I'm thanking God for me. I'm selfish in my testimony. But when I go through what Pastor Jerry going through, see, I ain't got no testimony, but I got an experience inside of me that is going to birth forth life in somebody else. It's called life stuff on the inside. Remember when Pastor was talking about that ling-a-ling-a-ling inside of you? See, that thing is real. It's not just something that we just talk about, but it's a lifestyle that has to possess you. God. I thought about this thing that I was losing. So when I said, okay, I'm losing everything, but then Pastor kept preaching, and he talked about poverty. Then he talked about one time, he talked about bringing heaven to earth. with my parents, and he showed me this. He said, with all the people that I thought that I lost, he said, no, you really gained. He said, because you demonstrated some love that I brought from heaven to put in you, because nobody taught you how to love and respect your parents like you did, only by the grace of myself inside of you, because I was protecting you all that time you was doing bad. I'm going to eat this. So when I recognized that, I said, okay, so now he talked about that. He talked about the poverty. And then I was sitting here one Sunday, and Dee was ministering, and she was talking about Abraham, and the servant had to go find Isaac a wife. And I was sitting here, and as she was talking about the servant, the first thing that I thought about was, I want to be like Abraham. Because Abraham was very rich, and he was able to give his servant to be a steward of everything he had. But it was Abraham who had the possession. So I'm sitting here going, great day. I want to be there so I can just be a blessing to the kingdom. And da-da-da-da. God said, no, bro. But see, my heart was right. I mean, well, let me take that back. My mom was right. My mom was right, because I really want to be a blessing to the kingdom. I really truly do. But I can't handle it. Then pastor come up and he began to minister one time about the same thing. But he talked about the steward part of it, how he was a steward of something. And I was like, okay, I need to be a steward of something, so I have to be able to handle what God give me. God said, nah, you can't handle that either. He said, first, I have to do something. I have to do something to you. Now you notice, bottle is prettier than this bottle. I got to get it in here. So you got two bears on this. And this is just a plain bottle, right? I just want y'all, the Pepsi people, to know that. But I like what you said, that, because that's what I thought about, right? God told me, he was showing me this. And I said, well, I'm going to have to. He said, I'm going to show you your issue. Talking to me. I'm going to show you your issue. I have to do something to you in order for you to succeed in anything that I want you to do. Right? So he said, I'm going to take this and I'm going to pour it in that bucket. Right? And then I said, well, let me go get a cup. I said, let me go get a cup. And pour it in the cup and start pulling it in the bucket, because that way I can give this away. We can drink it. Somebody can drink it, right? He said, that ain't what I told you. He said, that's why you can't handle stuff. He said, because I'm giving you instructions spiritually to do one thing, and you still want to do your own thing. See, PWM, this word is for the house. Because you can't do your own thing and think God is going to open up the windows of heaven and give you spiritual blessings. Not material stuff, but spiritual. This young lady got some spiritual maturity and some spiritual blessings that God had to open up them doors. She couldn't do it. Her circumstances, she said up here with the mic in her hand that her back was against the wall. That was her words. But God said, no, I got a plan. All right. Your circumstance, all you guys in here been going through some things. See, God said, I already know about your stuff. But it's just experiences. Experience. Is it an experience? So look, so then I said, okay. I don't mind doing this. It ain't gonna come out because it ain't that strong. Shalom. Okay. I ain't want y'all to see the coke. But look, this is what he was showing me. He said, son, pastor has said this message. I'm telling y'all, we need to hear these words. I sit here and I eat this stuff up. Yes. I literally eat it. It has to be my life. I don't care if you like me or not. I don't care what you're really thinking. I'm sitting here going, God, I want that.
Yes.
I want that.
Yes.
Every word you guys be in here saying, I'll be like, God, I want that. I don't know how to get it. He said, you don't know how to get it because I need to empty you out. I got to pull you out because you can't get nothing in there when you're already full of yourself. See, I already had my own plan. I already had my own ideas. He said, no, I got to empty you out. But then he showed me, one other rag, I don't want to put this in the front. I'm saying this thing. Then he showed me, he said, now, you yourself cannot empty yourself out. What you just say, Pastor? Now watch this. He said, you got to ask God to do it. Y'all remember when we came back from the banks and I was sharing with you, Pastor, about the Holy Spirit, Jesus had to go away. He had to go away in order for the Holy Spirit to come back because we couldn't handle, we didn't have enough of capacity to handle what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So here's the deal. He said, you need, as bad as that Pepsi want to empty itself out in that bucket, it can't do it. He said, you need the Holy Spirit to come and possess you.
Jesus.
You need a hand to come and get you and pull you out. You can't do it on your own. You're always trying to fix yourself. You're coming up with your own plans and ideas. You're always saying that I'm going to preach and teach and sing and dance. But that ain't the key. The key is to give yourself away and say, I'm going to sit here and say, God, I want you so bad. And the Holy Spirit comes and empty you out. Then he reminded me that he said, okay, I used to do this thing where I used to do my 5 years, 6, 10 years goals and all that stuff. Right? And 1 year, I said this, and all this stuff came back to me this week. I said, okay. I put down my short-term goals and all this stuff, and I went to the Outer Banks, and it was nighttime. It's crazy. It's nighttime. And you know how dark it is at our base. I'm sitting at the pool reading a book with my light from my phone. And I went back to my room. And God said, get rid of your list. Get rid of your list. He said, everything on your list and your goals are earthly. He said, you don't have not one thing on that list is spiritual. Not one thing. He had to give it up. Then, you guys know I love watches. Most of you know I love watches. Then I got to the place where God was showing me again. He said, remember I told you to give your watches away? I start giving my watches away. This, it began to come back to me. Some people started buying me more watches. I started getting it back, just like you did, young lady. You know, the job started coming to you. But I wasn't excited. Like right now, I don't even know what my watches are. I don't know where they are. But here's the deal. Here's the deal with that, right? After I went through that process, he said, now look, I'm going to some things, but at the same time, I still got to empty you out. Then I had this dream. He told me about a dream that I had, that I was at this apartment, and I had this big old U-Haul truck, and I was backing this U-Haul truck up to this apartment, and I was going upstairs, moving furniture upstairs. I unlocked the door, and the family that was previously living there was still in the house. They still had their furniture everywhere. They were still living in the house. And I was like, how can I get in there with the family in there? And the Holy Spirit told me, that's how I can't get in you. Because you got too much of you in there. So I can't possess you like I want to, because you still got it occupied. I think I might drink the rest of this one. So I got to the point where I said, okay, now I'm some things, and now I begin to understand. And then when they called me yesterday and told me that my godmother died, and I thought about all the times we had together, you know, doing Sunday school lessons, and you know, when the American Express card came out, I was 17 years old, and she gave me my first American Express card, right? But what she did was she was teaching me responsibility. So when she passed, I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to the funeral. And the Spirit telling me it's because I knew I loved them. See, I ain't missing out on nothing. Because what they done poured in me, what they done sold into me is eternal. Because my mom is still alive. My dad is still alive. I don't have to weep for them because I already got them in them. Because if I love you, I ain't worrying about nothing. See, because I have to be obedient by that free grace. So now I said, okay, to still show Christ, because heaven got to come to earth. So my family members and my friends have to see Christ in me. Right? So, but I still have to be emptied out. Now it's empty. This is not me, but I'm getting there. Amen. Right? You are getting there. In this house, at PWM, we are getting to a place where God is going to empty us out. So what he said he wants to do? He said, look, because the Holy Spirit got you now, right? Got you. This is where we are right now. But he said, I got to show you and teach you how to rely on manna. I got to get you guys in this room to know and understand and identify what manna is. Pastor Voss, could you? Because I talked to Pastor Voss and she told me something. And she brought up the word manna. Can I give you this mic, sir? Give her that so she can listen to these words very carefully.
I had shared a little while back that every morning I would take this cup with me. But this one particular day, drinking from the cup, the coffee cup, for whatever reason, when I turned it up, the word manna revealed itself on the lid of my cup. And the Lord saying, we know that manna is nothing but God's heavenly provision or substance. He did that for the people in Egypt. And I thought, manna, all this time I've been drinking. And the Lord said, this is just how you all are. Manna is always, you know, provided, but because of the condensation that was on the cup, all this time I had been drinking from heavenly provision, as it were. And it was symbolic. But because of the condensation and all the buildup of it, I couldn't see it. But then I was this week sitting and I thought about, man, I was doing something and hadn't really thought about it. And all of a sudden, I don't know if I looked up the word manna, what it even made me, and I saw that the word manna meant, what is it? what is it? Mm. And so then the other part of that application of that I was sharing with Pastor Mike was that not only was God providing for that, but when the people, when he provided, you know, for us, they were saying, what is this? Because the manna that came down for the Israelites, they said, I think when the dew dissipated or something, there was like this little snow that it looks like little fine flakes laying on the ground. And this is what's the provision. But it said, what is it? And the sense that I got or impression I got from the Lord was he was saying, what is it every day? What is it that you need? You look at this. And so the reason it couldn't go and eat yesterday's manna for some, because yesterday's manna isn't sufficient for whatever may be necessary, the need that you needed today. So each day he said, and so I thought about the scriptures and the word said, daily he loads us. You know, with manna, we can say, he said benefits, but we can say daily he loads us with manna. What is it that you need? And like I said, not necessarily that the need is all the time a material or natural thing as we look at it, but it's eternal. It's the spiritual things that he provides us with. And I look at it in terms of everything that I guess I've been going through, and I think about all the different illnesses. But each day, again, I think this goes back to the grace part of what Pastor Mike is saying, is each day there's a challenge or an experience. But what I have found in this journey is that each day I've been going through it, and I kind of wonder, how do I make it? God has been providing and allowing me to, you know, yes, I can't breathe. I can't do this in the natural. But somehow I find myself breathing. I find myself being able to sing. And a lot of the things that I'm having to endure that have taken people out or disabled people, he's loaded me with the necessary manna. Mm-hmm. What is it that you, Rosalind, that you need? Daily, if you look at that cup, daily you drink it, partaking of manna. And it's a heavenly thing. It's an eternal thing. And so that.
Our mindset is going to change. Of knowing how to eat manna and recognizing manna from heaven for our daily provision. That's why God gave the apostle about the poverty. We have to change. We have to give up. We have to give up because, see, we always got a plan. We always got a plan. So our plan hinder us from manna and recognize what manna is. Our daily provision is going to have to come from heaven. We can't trust the system of the world. We keep trying to hold on to it. Look, God said, I'm doing something new. Listen, I want you to inhabit the earth, but you got to do it from a kingdom perspective. You have to possess the earth from Zion. You can't possess the earth from when Adam got kicked out of the garden. The fall of man cannot handle the spiritual things of heaven. Back in the spirituality of God and say, okay, now from Zion, I can walk the earth and possess the land. Because, see, I don't even want the chair, but I know the chair is mine.
That's right. Come on now. That's
right. Because I'm looking from this way. So I begin to understand what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So I begin to say, okay, as he emptied me out, now the real deal is about to come. See, now the Holy Spirit is taking possession. See, it's the good stuff that's coming from up high, right? So now I'm getting something better than what I had. Right? So heaven, the heavenly things is getting poured into me. So you get the concept. So then when he showed me about the manna, then he reminded me of this. Now I'm going to share something with y'all. as an illustration, because this really happened. Okay, so in September, I think it was September, my oldest daughter got in trouble in Tennessee. And I get a phone call about 10:30, 11 o'clock, saying that from her mom called me crying, saying, oh, Joy's about to be arrested. And she won't answer her phone and all this stuff going on. So first thing I thought about was being super daddy. Where are my keys? I'm going to get my daughter. But then I said, no. I said, let me text someone, which was AP. I said, let me text Pastor. But I said, nah. I said, let me call Shanique and let Shanique know. So I called Shanique and told her. And then, I'm not kidding. Soon as I finished talking to Shanique, he said, text Pastor back and say, never mind. All right. I said, okay. And then, now this is my oldest daughter now. So I'm like, okay. I get another call and saying, okay, yep, she got arrested. She's going to jail. The spirit, no kidding. Her mom didn't call me. I said, look, y'all go to bed and go to sleep. Don't worry about it. Because I'm going to bed and go to sleep. And then I started thinking, I said, okay, this, why am I so peaceful with this thing? All of this is dealing with the manna, because this is manna to me. So I'm like, okay, I got to trust God more than I could trust what I'm thinking and feeling and in this circumstance. So I said, okay, I got to get wisdom from the Holy Spirit to get poured into me. See, I'm getting something new. You're getting something new in you. It's spiritual. You got to trust it. We cannot live unless we trust the Holy Spirit all the way.
Yes.
All the
That's
way.
Right. All the way.
As I was laying there, the Spirit told me, call the preacher and see what's going on. And the lady answered the phone, and she was just so nice and peaceful and calm. I said, well, Mr. Ruffin, you know, she's not here yet, but, you know, when she get in, we'll make sure she's okay. Don't worry. I said, okay. So then I began, I said, well, let me call and see if I had to get a bondsman to bond her out. And I called a bondsman, and they was like, let me pull her up. Yeah, she just got arrested. It's an assault charge. I said, okay. Assault a police officer. Ah, is this still manna? I'm still at peace. I'm at peace. So I'm like, okay, this is crazy. I didn't understand all this was going on. And then the bondsman said, oh, don't worry. She'll be out in the morning. Don't even worry about it. You don't need no bondsman. Just, you know. And I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. Because I'm building my relationship with the Holy Spirit. See, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit like I'm talking to you. All right, Holy Spirit, what I do next? I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. Because I don't want to lean to my own understanding. Because my own understanding, I would have been in my car going to Tennessee. And I would have been trying to get some money to go get my daughter out. But I said, no, I'm not going to lean. I said, because this stuff that I'm getting spiritually has to be more real and more substance to my life than this foolishness that I've been living most of my life. I got to live in a spiritual world. And I said, I'm a trust God more than I love my daughter. How dare we stand here and preach a gospel and you don't even want to live it?
Come on now.
I can't stand up here and keep talking about this heavenly stuff and I'm not going after it. We got to have this hunger after righteousness. And the only way you can get righteousness is by the Holy Spirit. D, give me that scripture, Luke, please. And when Jesus heard his answer, he said, there is still one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. Are you willing to give up everything to come after him like crazy? So he said, look, I had to expose in your heart that your true treasure, but that you wanted money. I thought it was just being successful. He said, no, your greed is money. And he said, I can't pour my spirit into you because yesterday we was reading something about healing. And the thing that stuck out to me is the man said that try to give you money, he wouldn't take it. In a nutshell, people try to offer him, bribe him or whatever, but he wouldn't take it. And the bells went off in my spirit like, that's why you got to be poor. Because what I'm about to do in this house, through you people here, us, through us, can he trust us enough that we'll be obedient to what he give us? See, healing is already here. He's just increasing our faith. He just said, okay, now I'm going to give you a little bit more of the Holy Spirit. So now when you begin to speak, I can trust you that you ain't going to make it a money-making business like all the others. Can I trust you not to go get a TV ministry? Can I trust you not to go sell books with your name on it? Can I trust you not to go have pastor's anniversaries and robes and all of this stuff and go get you nice cars because you've been prosperous in the spirit and in the natural? Can I trust you? I said, oh God, empty me out. Fill me with your spirit. So I said, God, I want to be a good steward. I want to be a good steward. I want to be able to manage whatever you give me. And again, I told you guys, and I'm going to close on this. He said, no, give me Romans 1. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ.
Come on now.
He said, that's what I called you to become. A slave. I don't want you to have anything. See, now in your mind, you might be thinking, well, you know, we got to have something. No, we just talked about how he going to provide for manna. He going to have to be your provision. Do you trust him enough that he going to be your provision, or you still going to make your way? He's We have to say, I'm a slave of Christ. So when Paul and Silas was in prison, it didn't matter to them. They was literally in prison. And I was sharing this with Shanique one time. I said, Daniel was in the lion's den with a real lion. he was in there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the fire. It was real fire. Can't fold like a cheap tent when we got to go through something in order for us to get the experience from the Holy Spirit, because that's why Jesus said, I have to go away to send you a comfort that's going to remind you of truth. And then he's going to lead you and guide you and protect you. So the thing that we've been missing is having that awesome relationship with the Holy Spirit. Am I willing to be a slave of Christ? Am I afraid of that word? We have to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work inside of us. And listen. It's okay. It's okay. Because a lot of times what we like to say is, I ain't there yet. It doesn't matter where you are. It's where the Holy Spirit want to take you. Do you want to be led? That's the question. We just got to be willing to allow him to take the top off and pull us out. And let heaven pour into us the eternal blessings of spirituality, that it will become lifestyle. Those 365s, the things that pastor been sending out, we have to break our necks to read it. Even if you don't understand it, read it. Even if it's long, you got to read it. Because it's an inner work. It's not a head. Understand it. It's just an inner work. Let him work in you. Pastor Ross had that cup for a while and didn't even recognize she was getting manna. And it's funny because it ain't just her. I didn't recognize it. We have to get to the place where we allow God to do what he has to do inside of us. Are you losing? Are you losing anything? Losing is the best thing going today. The world don't like that word, but we have to embrace it. Yeah, that's good. Right. That's embracing the cross. That's good, sir. You know, when I woke up this morning, I didn't know what I still wasn't going to talk about. But then I kept hearing this thought. Healing. People need prayer for healing. And I was sitting on the drums right during the offering. And I still began to cry. And I said, okay, God, don't start this. And I had to. Because sometimes my compassion for people, I just cry for no reason. I just start crying. I just start weeping. I'm like, oh, boy. But I believe something is about to happen in this house, man. It's going to be big. But we have to be in position to be able to handle this thing. Because we can't be churchy. Amen.
All right, so that's a word for this house, obviously, and how God's you can kind of stay up here with me, how God needs to do something inside of us, even down to what he said at the last, the prayer of healing. We're not going to do that today, and here's why. We're going to come, let it come about another way, but it's going to come. And healings are going to come. I sent some things out on healing yesterday. I pray you read it. And if you didn't get it, please see Raquel. I want to make sure I send it out to everyone. But I want to do a quick recap because it was so good. And just hit a couple things here because it was so good. And Leticia's testimony was so good, right? It's like, okay, so good. There's spirituality to her testimony. God did something about in his own way. And that's where we have our big difficulties, because we won't let him do it the way he wants to do it. In other words, we are fearful to become poor. And he says, you blessed are the poor. Basically meaning, if you become poor, I can start working in your life. You have too much in you, I can't do anything. So Mike said, we have to get to a place where we allow God to do the work. We must become poor. Now, I thought about this, and of course, this is the only route there, right? You know, we keep trying to get duped by, there's got to be another way. You know, it's, you know, so-and-so had a testimony, but maybe that testimony wasn't the God way. This is the only way. Now, they sung the song this morning. Let every other name fade away. Can you feel that now? Everything else that I trusted in, it's got to fade away. Every other name, right? I have to throw away everything else that I trusted in. Everything else has to fade away. I read a little quote this week that says, let no other trust intrude. Satan's always trying to let other trust intrude us. But we start to learn to trust him. Look, by the Spirit, right? He empties us out, and then he replaces it with a spiritual trust in himself. And if that gets far enough, whatever provision you need won't be a problem at all. I'm talking about spiritual. I'm talking about physical. I'm talking about your body. This is why healings are going to come. Not because God changed his mind. It's because now no other trust is intruding. Are y'all following me? We can start trusting him to the point where less medicine, more him. Less medicine, more him. That's just a matter of trust. It's not God's will. It's not, you know, God's timing. No, it's just a matter of trust on our part. And if the other trusts start fading away, healthcare system trusts, medicine trusts, whatever else trusts, no condemnation, but it was just God just letting him start doing something differently. And then we'll be a witness to the world. Let no other trust intrude. You know, last thing, you know, you said at the end, God said to you, that's got to be prayer for healing. And this is really what's on God's heart about this thing. One, we just did the message yesterday morning on healing. But here's what he's waking me up with this morning. You know, it says, Pastor Jerry, healing is the children's bread. What did he say? Give us this day what? Our daily what? Bread. Our trust can get to the point, if we start trusting him daily for all things, the healing is right along with it. Absolutely a part of the whole thing. It's absolutely a part of the whole thing. It's just the world has given us a whole bamboozlement about it. But here's God picking this house. Do you trust me? Can I teach you how to trust me? Can I open your cap, pour you out, and pour back in trust? That's God's work. That's hidden manna. That's for today. That's your message to this house. Wake up. Trust me. Don't do it like the other world. Don't do it like the worldly church. Don't do it like nominal Christianity. Go deeper in it. And trust me with your entire life and make me happy. and make me glad. It's my good pleasure to give you this stuff. We're learning and growing. This message was certainly God's heart for his people. You know, compassion starts to well up in us for other people to get healed because we know how to trust him for it, you know. And yes, and the more light comes on it. I can't help but say, see, now we have a accountability to just give ourselves to the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, some things about to break forth. I'm seeing visions about it. But we got to stay with it. I do not send Faith 365s nominally. I don't send them nominally. It's all a part of our growth, guys. You got to soak this stuff in. So I send out readings. I don't send them nominally. You know, you got to read them. If you're not getting them, please let Raquel know. Come on, Alma. Yeah. Oh, how I trust you more and more. I know there's a song like that somewhere. Just so sweet, just so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just take him at his word. Rest the promises. That's manna. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee. That should ring bigger today. So Lord, we trust you for the healing virtue. That still comes out of your gown. It's still there. We still trust you for the healing virtue that comes out of your sweet robe. Let God be true and every man a liar. Forgive us, Father, for just our natural thinking. Jesus, we want to know you in a different way. Holy Spirit, will you help us today? Dig a grave and pour in our doubt and unbelief. And then give us resurrection, power, and trust on the other hand. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Steady as you go, the Lord says, I'm teaching you trust. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the endowment from heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You got any closing words?
Finish this up. My daughter ended up, she was good. She only had to do 8 hours of community service. And they dropped all the charges. So I just wanted to put that in there. So,
Lord Jesus, the blood of Jesus, let your free grace soak into this house, your house. Let it be the way you want it to be. Free grace. Thank you for establishing Zion here and giving us free course of your word and love. Amen and amen. Have a good day in him. Amen.